Well, hey guys, good morning. What's up? It's good to see you guys. Man, you look good. I'm so glad to be home. I am glad. Would you ask me, boo? Who am I? Hey, good morning. My name is Jimmy Britt. I'm the lead pastor here at Rocky River. And I feel like I haven't been here in a while. I haven't been here in at least 2 weeks. And then I was here for a week and then gone the week before that. So I feel like I've missed you guys a lot. But we've also had a couple good weeks around here, too. I got a great report from the students 2 weeks ago when they had the service in here. They did a great job. Would you agree? Would you give them a big hand? They did a great job. And then last week, Travis Bush, our former pastor to students, he gave the message. And I listened to that message, and he did a great job. I was thinking, man, I did a really good job teaching some of these boys how to preach. I'm just kidding. Gosh, it's so good to be home. It's so good to be looking at you. Most preachers, we just don't know what to do with ourselves on Sunday morning when we're not looking at a congregation or we don't have a place to worship. And anyway, I've just missed you guys. I'm glad to be back in, not just in the United States. You know, one of the things I hate when people travel abroad is all of a sudden they think everything's better everywhere else. You know, oh, it's so much better in Europe, it's so much better here. Let me tell you something. With all of our problems, this is the greatest country in the world, at least in the places I've been. I was telling a friend of mine, anybody here from New Jersey? Just show of hands. Okay, so I'm going to be careful here. We flew back into the States, into Newark. And you know, Jersey, that's the Garden State. And you really kind of have to get out in the country a little bit to realize that it is the Garden State. I mean, there are some beautiful places in New Jersey, but not so much in Newark. And I'm telling you, it was so good to be back in the United States. I could have kissed the ground in Newark, which, you know, John, what kind of disease that could open you up to right there in Newark. So, so I'm glad to be back in this country, but I'm also glad to be in a part of our country where they serve tea that is cold and sweet. And God bless Bojangles. It was good to see my extended family once we got home. And Dorothy said it best, I think, in Wizard of Oz, there's no place like Cabarrus County. Or she said something like that. Well, a lot's happened over the last few weeks, hasn't it? You know, there's a lot going on in the world. And you know the laundry list, so I won't go through it. We had good news coverage in Europe, and you know, you get all sorts of varieties when you're out of the country. But not to diminish anything that's going on in the world, and there are serious problems all over the world and, you know, in our country. But man, the thing that hurt me and affected me the deepest, honestly, was the death of Robin Williams. And it just broke my heart. I couldn't believe it when I found out that he had died. And then the fact that it was suicide just to me makes it all the more tragic. I grew up laughing at him on Mork and Mindy. When I was a kid, Mork and Mindy was a primetime show. And I can remember all of my buddies, you know, in school. Everybody had a Mork shirt. Everybody worked on the Orkin handshake and, you know, Nanu Nanu. Not to raise questions that parents are going to have to deal with the kids, but I even learned about drug addiction and cocaine by watching him live at the Met. And I loved most of his movies, not all of them, but most of them. And my favorite movie of all time is Dead Poets Society. It's hard to imagine, really, how someone who is so good at improv comedy, who can literally make you pee in your pants, not that I ever did, but someone who is that funny can also live in such a dark place. And in times like this, you realize that a guy like that, with all his talents and all that popularity, and he's just a human being like the rest of us, isn't he? He had demons that he battled with. He battled with drugs and alcohol addiction and depression. Depression, that's a big thing. And if you've never dealt with depression, you don't understand just how big it can be. I've never been treated for depression, but I've certainly dealt with it in my own life. Most leaders do deal with depression, including pastors. And one of the things that I wanted to say to you, just right up front in today's message, that if you're here and you're dealing with depression, you don't have to deal with it by yourself. I mean, that's what we're here for. We don't know that you need help if you don't tell us. But if you'll tell us, if you'll reach out for help, we'll help you. Now, I'm going to tell you that I'm not a trained counselor, and we don't have a trained counselor on our staff. There are places to get help, and we will help you find help. If you need help, if you struggle, you don't even have to give up your anonymity. You just reach out to me, or you reach out to Don, you call the church office, and if it's something you don't want to say to Karen or Cricket or whoever answers the phone, you just say, I need to speak to Jimmy, or I need to speak to Donnie, I need to speak to Jason, and we'll figure out how to get you help. For the next few minutes in today's message, I want to talk to you about how to navigate through the dark valleys in your life. And the key verse we're going to look at this morning is Psalm 23:4. And I think it's coming up on the screens behind me. And if it is, I want you to read it out loud with me. You feel like being involved in the message today? Amen? Feel like getting involved? Okay, I want you guys to read this out loud with me, with just lots of Rocky River Church gusto. Let's read this together. Here we go. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. I want you to read it with me again, but this time twice as loud. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. How many of you have ever heard of the Oak Ridge Boys? Just a show of hands? Okay, some of us are showing our age a little bit, but that's okay. I love the Oak Ridge Boys. I can't help it. I love country music, especially when country music was real, and the Oak Ridge Boys were a really famous and popular gospel group that became a secular country group, and I love them, and my parents were big Oak Ridge Boys fans, and in the 1980s, they had a popular song. I think the title of it was It Takes a Little Rain, and there are a couple of lines in the song that go like this. It takes a little rain to make love grow. Where the sun always shines, there's a desert below. Now, in that song, they're talking about love, but I think it's just as true in life. You know, life is not always good, is it? I mean, most of us in this room, we're old enough to know that life is not always about living under the sunshine. I mean, the rain comes. Life is a mixture of good and bad. Life is about victory and defeats. It's about ups and it's about downs. It's about our successes, but there are also losses. Without the rains, without the storms, we wouldn't grow in our lives. We never had any problems. We never went through the dark times in life, then there wouldn't be any depth to our lives. I mean, we enjoy the mountaintop experiences, but listen, it's the valleys where we grow. when Queen Catherine of Aragon was going through her divorce or her annulment from King Henry VIII, she said to someone, and she was a committed follower of Jesus, she said, "If I had to pick only between good times in life and bad times in life, I would always choose the bad times." He said, "In the good times, we forget about God. But in the bad times, that's where we realize that we depend on Him." And that's true. Valleys are a part of life. They're inevitable. They're going to come. They're just going to happen. And they're impartial, aren't they? I mean, because the bad times, they come to all of us, not just some of us. I mean, we can see that because most of us in the room, we think of us as ordinary people. But we've found out over the last week or so that the bad times come to popular and famous people, people who on the outside looking in have everything. And so it's not a question of whether or not the valleys will come. We know they're going to come. The question is, how do we deal with them? How do we go through them? And let's just talk about this in real time right now for a moment if we can. Because the truth is, some of you walked in today and you're going through a dark valley in your life right now today. I mean, maybe you even showed up because you saw on Facebook that we're going to be dealing with how to navigate the dark valleys in our lives. So you showed up this morning because you're going through a dark valley. You're in a hard time. And I don't know what the hard time might be, but you know. And so you really need this message. And so God's speaking to you. Let Him. But then there are others of us in the room, and we're somewhere between the mountain and the valley, and we think, well, you know, I don't really need this message, but I'm telling you that you do, because you might not be going through a dark valley today, but you will another day. So I want to ask you to dig in to God's Word this morning. And open up your life, open up your mind, open up your heart to the Lord, and let Him speak to you today. David said, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff, they protect and comfort me." Here are three things that I think we need whenever we're going through the dark valleys. So if you're in a dark valley now, you need these three things in your life. If you're not going through a dark valley, you need to take these notes, fold them up, put them in your back pocket, and hang on to them for the day when you are going through the dark valley. Here's the first thing that you need. Whenever you're going through a dark valley, remember, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Over the past few weeks, in particular in London, I saw a whole new level of bravery and real faith in God. As some of you know, the tour that we were on in Europe was a church reformation tour, a church history tour. And I went to places where Christians and pastors in particular were defrocked publicly, stripped naked in front of their own congregations, drawn, which means you're put on a flat bed, your hands are tied to one wheel, and then your legs are tied to another, and they stretch you to get a confession out of you, usually until your spine pops. Then they would quarter them, which means to quarter their body, cut them in pieces, and burn them. And sometimes they would skip the quartering part and just go straight from being stretched and drawn to being burned alive. And many of these Christians, while they're being tortured, would pray that God would forgive their torturers of their sins. I mean, that's big faith. That's big faith in God. And that's the kind of faith that David had in the Lord. David was not just a king that never got involved in wars. David had been a mercenary. He was a warrior king. This guy was a fighter. He knew what it was like to live in the dark valleys at times. And in big faith, with big faith, he said, even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I'm not afraid. I will not be afraid. There are two words that I want you to write into your notes. The first word is will. W-I-L-L. It's an important word. Because the word will implies that you have a choice. See, most of the time we have circumstances in our lives that we didn't choose or that we can't change necessarily. You know, sometimes things just happen to us in life. Sometimes we create our circumstances, but sometimes we don't. But no matter what the circumstances are, whether we create them or someone else creates them for us, we can decide how to face them. It's a matter of will. It's a matter of choice. You decide how to face the cancer. You didn't choose the cancer. You didn't pick that circumstance for your life, but you can choose how you will face it. Maybe you didn't choose the financial situation that you're in. Maybe you did. Maybe it's your own doing, but maybe it's not. So you're in a situation that you are having a hard time getting out of. You can decide how to face it. And then the second word I want you to write down is the word walk. W-A-L-K. Did you notice that David is not running through the valley? He said, even though I'll walk through the darkest valley. He's not running. He didn't panic in the valley. He could have, but he didn't. He's not running. And as Christians, that's exactly how we ought to face our dark valleys. I know that we want to get out of them. I know that we don't want to deal with them. Most of us will do anything that we can to avoid the hard times in life. But listen, sometimes we are in dark valleys. We're in situations. We're in circumstances where we can't go around them. We can't go over them. We can't go under them. We just have to go through them. But when we're going through them, we don't have to live in chaos. When we're going through them, we don't have to be discouraged. When we're going through the hard times, the dark valleys, the tough seasons in our lives, we don't have to panic and live in chaos. Let me tell you how to do that. Let me tell you how to keep from being discouraged. Let me tell you how to keep from panicking. You focus on God. And that sounds simple, doesn't it? And it is. And it's easy to do. But listen, here's the problem with it. It's also easy to not do. It's like losing weight. It's easy. It's easy. It's easy to do. It's really easy not to do it. Because we know how to lose weight, don't we? You eat less and you work out. It's easy. It's also easy to not do it. An apple a day keeps the what away? The doctor away. Not a Hershey bar a day. An apple a day. It's easy to eat an apple, isn't it? Easy not to eat an apple. It's a whole lot easier and a little more fun to eat that Hershey bar. Focusing on God can be the same way. It's easy to focus on God, but it's easy to not focus on God. Because here's where a lot of us make a crucial error. We blame God, and so we try to run away, or we try to face our problems on our own. Some of us even turn our back on God when we're going through hard times, but instead you should focus on Him, because let me tell you what happens. I'm not trying to say that you should ignore your problems or bury your head in the sand, because not dealing with your problems doesn't just magically make them go away. But when you focus more on God than you focus on the problem, you begin to see how big God is, and that puts your problem into perspective. Again, it doesn't just make the problem go away, but it doesn't matter how big your problem is compared to God, it's very small. And that doesn't discount the hurt of it. That doesn't discount the seriousness of it, but it does put our problems into perspective. My kids are 16 and 14. Annie's got just a few more hours of driving until she can get her license. James has finished up with his driver's ed, so beware. One of the things that I tell them as I'm working with them and trying to make them the best drivers they can be, you steer into what you stare at. You know, if you're looking at the right-hand side of the road, you'll notice that you start steering that way. If you just stay to the left, you'll eventually start moving that way. So the best thing to do is keep your eyes straight ahead so you keep that vehicle moving in the right direction. It's the same with our lives. It's the same with the problems that we deal with. Stare at God so you can steer your life into Him. Here's the second thing that I need to remember when I'm going through the dark valleys. I need to remember that God is with me. David said, "For you are close beside me." See, God not only gives us His courage when we're going through dark valleys, He gives us His presence and His power. I mean, the Lord goes with us when we're in the dark times, when we're in the dark places, when we're going through the dark valleys of our lives. If you're taking notes, write this verse down. It's Isaiah 43:2. You can look it up later, but it says, "When you go through the deep waters, God says, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up, because the flames will not consume you." God is saying that whenever you're going through problems, I'm there with you. See, you thought you were going through this all by yourself. You thought you were all alone. And maybe that's because you don't have a flesh and bone person standing right there with you going through your hell. But it doesn't mean that you're alone, because God says, "I'm always with my children." When you're going through the fire, when you're going through the valleys, when you're going through rivers of difficulty and trouble and doubt, I'm right there with you. God's not just up in heaven watching you go through your dark season saying, "Boy, I sure hope he makes it through." Our God, whose Son is Jesus Christ, walks with us through the dark valleys. Let me show you something else I think is kind of cool. Not that cool is a very deep theological word, but it translates for me. Does it translate for you? This is pretty cool. In the verses just before this one, in Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3, David is talking about God. He says things like, "The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. But in verse 4, he's not talking about God. He's talking to God. The pronouns change. In the first three verses, he's talking about God, but then he says, even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I will not be afraid because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I don't know why David wrote this psalm, but I think it's because he was going through a dark valley in his own life. And so what he does in the first three verses is he gives a testimony about all that God has done in the past. And I don't know who he's giving that testimony to. Maybe he's saying this to himself. You know, it's just him and a piece of calfskin paper and charcoal as he's writing down these verses. Or maybe he's saying it to family and friends, but he lets that audience move to the side for a moment, and then he just starts speaking directly to God. And I think this is a big deal because I know that whenever I'm going through a dark season in my own life, I don't want to just talk about God. I want to talk to God. And I think this is important to remember about the dark valleys. The dark valleys are where we come face to face with God. It's in the tough times that we realize that what we have with God is relationship. That it's not about religion or old, dead superstitions. It's about a relationship as we meet God face to face. And then finally, when you're going through a dark valley, let God guide you. David said, your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You guys have heard me say this, I'm sure, at Christmas time, when we talk about the shepherds. You know, we have this image that these shepherds are just, you know, just really nice guys that like playing with sheep. They like lambs, and we think about them walking around with a cute little cuddly lamb, and, you know, they're just kind of nice. God, these are not just nice guys. These are the cowboys of their day. And that rod and the staff, man, if these kind of guys were around today, they would have guns and knives. But their weapons then and their tools were these rods and staffs. And so what a shepherd could do is, if the sheep wouldn't move or he was having a tough time with one, he could whack that sheep. And he didn't mind doing that because sometimes that sheep needed just a good crack over the head, I guess. Or he could take it and poke it and prod it to get it going in the direction that he wanted it to go. But then he could also take the hook or the crook in the staff and he could hook a sheep or a lamb and pull it in close to him whenever he was wandering away. David is reminding us that God protects us in the dark valleys. Sometimes he pokes and prods us to get us going, to make us start moving again. And then sometimes he uses that crook to draw us back in close whenever we're moving away from him. How does God guide us? Well, for sure, the main way that God guides us is through His Word, the Bible. It's how God talks to us. It's how He speaks to us. And God also guides us and speaks to us through prayer. And listen, if you're not spending time reading the Bible and listening to Him and talking to Him in prayer, then you can't really be sure if God is leading you and guiding you at all. Prayer and the Bible, it's like God's GPS. It's the way we hear Him. See, some of us today, we're in this dark valley and we need to get out, and we're wandering through it. We feel lost. God will lead you out. You have to listen to Him. One of the things that I loved about the trip that we just got back from is we did a lot of driving. We drove about 1,000 miles. I drove every one of them. My friend Nelson, he's Magellan. I'm Rand McNally. He had a GPS on his phone and Google Maps, and we drove from Berlin to Geneva and just tons of places in between. We didn't just go to the major big towns because, again, we were on this church tour, and so we many times were off the beaten path and going into small villages and places, and really glad we had the GPS because we needed it. I mean, there were roads we took where you would have sworn it was a gravel driveway and not a road. And we're a little bit adventurous, and so after a few days in, we sort of got comfortable with where we were, and so we would get off the route, and then you could hear that lady, and at times her voice was really annoying. And I'm not talking about Karen and Kelly in the back seat either. I can't say that at 10:45 because she'll be in here. I'm talking about the lady's voice on the GPS. When we would get off the route, she would say, "Proceed to the route." You heard that? You've heard the same lady on your GPS? "Proceed to the route." And that's what God does in our lives through His Word and through prayer. When we listen to Him, we can hear His voice saying, "Proceed to the route. Proceed to the route. You're off course. You're out of line. You've wandered away." You'll listen for God's voice like a GPS. He'll lead you in the right way. He'll lead you through uncertain times. He'll lead you out of dark places. I read a quote just this past week from Robin Williams about listening to voices. I couldn't find the exact quote to write it back in, but this is essentially it. He said, "The same little voice that tells me to drink and do drugs is the same voice that often tells me to jump off of a mountain." You know, you have competing voices in your life. Really, you have three. Yours, Satan's, and the Lord's. Jesus warns us about Satan's voice. He says in John 10:10, "The thief, who is Satan, has come to steal, kill, and destroy your life." He says, "But I have come that you might have abundant life." Satan will call you deeper into the darkness. He'll lure you in. And along the way, he'll steal your joy. He'll rob you of your peace. He'll destroy your life. But Jesus, the Savior, the Lord, he'll walk with you through the dark valleys if you'll listen to him. You'll let his voice guide you. And sometimes he's going to poke you with a rod to get you moving. Sometimes he'll take that staff and the crook and he'll pull you back in close when you've wandered away. But let him guide you. Let him guide you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence and your power and your courage. I'm grateful that you're not a God who's detached from his people, but you love us and you care for us. Lord, I pray for all those who are going through a dark valley today, not just the people that I love who are sitting in this room, but people all throughout our community. There's so much hurt in the world. Lord, I pray for the families that are going through this dark time in Ferguson, Missouri, Israel and Palestine. Europe, Africa, there's just hurt on every continent. Lord, one of the things that I just feel like you're saying, not only in my life, but in the lives of so many others, and maybe in your way, it's what you're saying to the whole world. Proceed to the route. Come back to me. Let me guide you out of this darkness. Not just the darkness of our individual lives, but the darkness that's all over the world. But Lord, we're not all over the world this morning. We're right here in this room. I believe that you're dealing with people. I believe that there are folks here who need to give their lives to you for the very first time. And then there are others who have wandered away. And so this morning, maybe in a gentle way or maybe even in a stronger way, you've been poking and prodding or you've been trying to pull them back into you. So I pray that not only would we hear your voice today, but we would respond to it. If you're here today, you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do that right now. Or if you've wandered away, you can come back today, right now. So pray with me. You can pray my words. It'll be your prayer and my words. Or you can just paraphrase what I'm saying. But say, God, I need you. I need you in my life. And I want to serve you and follow you. I need your help. Like Cynthia sang earlier, I need you now. I need you in my life. I'm not doing well without you. So please come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for loving me, and now lead me through this dark time. Jesus, it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen.